our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 400, the stanzas 3, 4, 5, and 6. Happy is the man that chooses Israel's God to be his aid. He is blessed whose hope of blessing on the Lord his God is stayed. And what follows, Psalter 400, the stanzas 3 through 6. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Mark 10, the verses 17 through 27. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Mark 10, the verses 17 through 27. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Miranda Vandenberg was privileged to come home from the hospital in this day. Let us ask the Lord for a blessing. A merciful Lord of the heavens and of the earth, thou was granted by renewal on this Lord's day unto us and our children the opportunity and the desire once more to come up to thy courts to hear what thou hast to say unto us. And wherein thy word thou wast promised thy special blessing and thy special presence, and may that truly be experienced in this evening hour. Bless what was heard in this morning, and we humbly ask thee for an indispensable blessing, a rich blessing, a necessary blessing, and yet a forfeited blessing upon thy holy word in this evening hour. 'Tis the work of the Holy Spirit to make room in the hearts, to open the hearts for thy holy word, to grant those living desires after thee, after thy righteousness and after thy communion. And it is also his work, as thou wast promised in thy word, to also fulfill those desires with thyself, with the work of a triune God, O Lord. May it please thee in this hour, may it be the set time for sinners, when they may be arrested, when they may be drawn, when they may be quickened, and then they shall begin to cry for and after thee. And that is a blessing that we all stand in need of. That is a blessing that not one of us can miss. And they are blessings that we have sinned away in paradise, and we daily do so. And then our only hope and expectation may be thy abounding mercy. May thy word be for instruction, for comfort, edification, correction where needed, for examination and the further leadings in the life of thy true people. Do bless thy word in the church. Do continue to help the consistory, who is sufficient unto these things. Grant many Aaron's and hers. Do help fathers and mothers with the instruction of their dear children. Another school year has commenced in the past week, and wilt thou grant all that we stand in need of. Do grant traveling mercies. Help the instructors. Help the students. And when thy word may be daily opened, do add thy indispensable blessing. Remember the established churches. Oh, remember the persecuted church. Remember the Jewish nation. Remember all mission work, also our mission field. Do help Bible translators. The labors are manifold, the labors are few. The great need for truly converted, called, and sent servants. Teachers for our Christian schools, and a church worker for our mission field. Lord, remember all the temporal needs. They are great. They are manifold. Oh, do remember the little daughter in her frail condition, with grave concerns in the hospital, given a little encouragement in this evening. But, oh Lord, thou knowest our condition. And may it please thee to continue to spread thy gracious wings over her, that thou may grant healing. Do uphold and remember father and mother, when they may hold, when they may see their pale little daughter. Then we also commend unto thee the same large hospital in that large city of four more children from our church community than thou wast spared hitherto. The circumstances are all known unto thee. May the means be blessed, and that these solemn callings, that they may be sanctified, that they may be used in thy hand for the coming of thy kingdom. Thou wast granted in this day that a handicapped daughter may return from the hospital. Oh Lord, thou knowest the difficulties. Thou knowest the concerns. Thou knowest the discouragements. May it please thee to grant unto the physicians further wisdom and understanding. Wilt thou uphold and remember the parents in these trying ways? We commend unto thee a mother who was scheduled by renewal for a surgery in the day of tomorrow. Wilt thou go with her? Bless the hands of the physician. Remember together with her husband, sanctify the callings. We commend unto thee the mothers, different mothers, with grave concerns, undergoing treatments. Ah, grant them a place at thy footstool, where they may come. If it may please thee that the treatments may be blessed, and above all, may be for the profit of their never-dying souls. Remember sick relatives. We commend them all unto thee. Remember all the handicapped. Remember the crosses and burdens. We lay before thee all the mourning ones. Do continue to uphold and remember all the elderly ones. Come to the evening of their life. Above all thing, that one thing needful to receive and to experience that only comfort in life and in death. We commend our nation unto Thee. We remember the nations that have been already such a long time at war, with all the death, with all the mourning, with all the suffering, with all the wounded, with all the dreams that have come to an end. May they be given to cry unto Thee, and that also the wars may be used, that sinners may be saved by Thee. Lord, we now humbly beg of Thee for Thy gracious help. Grant a few words to speak. Remember all the hearers. Help our little boys and our little girls. Give a little rest in Thy house. Bind the devil and pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 40, the first five stanzas. The law that the Lord has ordained is perfect, the soul to restore. His truth makes the simple most wise, the truth that is sure evermore. And what follows, Psalter 40, the first five stanzas. Thank you. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 2, the question and answers 3, 4, and 5. Question 3, whence knowest thou thy misery? Answer, out of the law of God. Question 4, what doth the law of God require of us? Answer, Christ teaches us that briefly in Matthew 22, the verses 37 through 40. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first and the great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Question 5. Canst thou keep all these things perfectly? Answer, in no wise. For I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. Lord's Day number 2, that speaks of the knowledge of our sin by the holy law. 4 thoughts. First, a necessary knowledge of the law. Secondly, the profound discovery by the law. Thirdly, the perfect love required by the law. And in the fourth place, the alarming disobedience to the law. The knowledge of our sin by the holy law, unnecessary knowledge of the law, and then with the first point, we shall yet speak a few words of the second question of the first Lord's Day, the profound discovery by the law, the perfect love required by the law, and the alarming disobedience to the law. Beloved hearers, what is thy only comfort in life and in death? Have we considered that question profoundly? Or have we tried to put it out of our thoughts? But I think the children can understand that shall not be a solution, because we need that comfort. We need to receive and experience that comfort before the end comes. Then what a privilege and what a wonder it is that the King of the Church, that he still proclaims that comfort, that the King still proffers peace and pardon, and that for the chiefest of sinners. And then we understand it. Oh, the need of the work of the Holy Spirit in all of our hearts. And then we indeed, all the instructors, they receive light in a short paragraph to describe the riches, the portion of the true people of God. Then the instructors and Lord's Day number one, then they have already extolled the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Spirit. And then last time we have concluded with the end of answer one for examination, and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto Him. Have there been a few that have begged the Lord and say, Lord, is there now still room under Thy glorious banner for this boy and girl, man or woman? Ah, Lord, wilt Thou then work in my heart that I may become a willing servant and a willing handmaiden, because the Lord has a willing people in the day of His power. We read thereof in Psalm 110, verse 3. And now with such a rich answer, the rich portion of the living church of Jesus Christ, then surely the question should be, has that also been our inquiry? How do I now gain, become possessor of that portion in this life, when a farmer, a businessman, may prosper, and when it can be seen that he is richly blessed, then oftentimes the neighbor asks what he has done, the means he has used, that he may do the same. And then, of course, oftentimes the question is, because we and our children can desire things, but that we cannot afford. Thus, concerning the rich answer that the instructors have given based upon the scriptures, then what is the cost, boys and girls? How much does grace cost? We read thereof in Isaiah 55, verse 1, without money and without price. And to that end, the instructors have immediately added the second question, how many things are necessary for thee to know that thou enjoying this comfort mayest live and die happily? And then when the instructors speak of the things that are necessary to know, then they are not speaking only with our mind. It's not exclude our understanding and our mind, but that speaks of an experience of the heart. And there is a great difference. We can give a few simple examples. There are widows and widowers amongst us. and then husbands and wives. Then they have thought, especially when the one is sick, then they start contemplating what it shall be to be a widower, a widow. Fathers and mothers, what a fear there can be with their little ones, that they find them unresponsive, or when they become older, an accident. And then we can ponder over those things. We can empathize that is proper and good to visit those that have lost dear ones. But when you ask that mourning people, then they shall tell us that they actually did not have an idea what it would be to bring a dear one to the grave. And that is the same, boys and girls, when we read the Bible. We read of the wonderful experiences of God's people and also other good books. That is good, that is proper, that we and our children may know how the Lord converts his people. But now when the Lord begins that wonderful work, and when he draws by the cords of love, then it is so different. Oh, we could mention more examples. Difference between visiting one in the hospital that had surgery, that describes everything and the pain, or whether we need surgery ourselves. We can read in Psalm 107 where the psalmist has described a great storm about on the sea, those that do business in deep waters, that they are at their wits' end, they are given to cry. We can read it, we can try to picture it, we can try to imagine it. But it is a complete different matter when we are on such a ship ourselves and we fear that the ship shall soon sink to the bottom of the ocean. Thus the instructors, they are speaking of an experiential knowledge wrought by the Holy Spirit, virtue, the meritorial work of Jesus Christ, because the Lord can never look down on a sinner outside of his dear Son. How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou enjoying this comfort mayest live and die happily. And then we read of three. First, how great my sins and miseries are. Much trouble upon this world as a consequence of our sins. The one of more troubles than another. Oh, what a misery in our secluded environment. We see but little of it. And those that have departed from God and his word, then the Lord has declared in his word for this life that the troubles shall only increase. Thus how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how we shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. And now our first point, unnecessary knowledge of the law. And concerning the law of God, we live in a day that love is placed above the law. It's true. We read in the book of Romans that love is the fulfilling of the law. But for a people that depart from this word, then they place love, they say, as long as there is love, and it is done in love, then it is good, notwithstanding what the holy law of God declares. We live in a time that relationships are more important than the truth, what God's law declares. And we must remember that we live in a world that has departed so far from the law of God, and that it subconsciously shall also affect our thinking, and therefore the need for us and our children that we have a close life to the Word of God. And of course, the enmity against the law of God, when the law of God is preached to our neighbor, then we can be well satisfied and glad and hope that our neighbor shall hear the same. But when the law is preached to us and it becomes personal, then the enmity of the natural heart, what examples we have in the Bible. King Ahab, when King Jehoshaphat has asked him when they were ready to go to war, whether there was a prophet, and then prophet Micaiah has prophesied against Ahab. He was smitten and put back in prison. Joash, that little boy that was rescued by Jehosheba, he has become king, zealous for the things of the Lord. But then we read that Zechariah the prophet has come, a son of that godly priest, and he was stoned. Oh, think of the prophet Jeremiah, where as an ambassador from heaven he was sent to the children of Judah, and then he has uncovered them, he has told them their sins, and also concerning their worship. And then they have even said, Jeremiah has said, concerning to be deceived, in Jeremiah 5 verse 31, the people love to have it so. Jeremiah 20, Pasher has smitten him. And in Jeremiah 36, the king with his penknife has cut up the roll and threw it into the fire. Nevertheless, the necessity of the proclamation of the holy law, that there may come need for deliverance, and then gratitude cannot be missed. Our second thought, the profound discovery by the law. And then in this Lord's Day, does not ask whether the natural man is miserable. Oh, that is written in God's word. Without God, without Christ, and without hope in the world, and when not converted, how terrible it shall be. Then it shall be eternal misery, and there shall never be one. Oh, here upon this earth, with sickness, with trials, with mourning, then what a privilege when by the common goodness of the Lord we may be surrounded by many who may do their best to comfort us, but young and old. If we go lost, if we refuse to bow under the King of Kings, if we refuse to repent, if we refuse to beg for mercy, then how terrible it shall be. And therefore, the profound discovery by the law. And now our misery, then we could speak of many things. We could speak of blindness, could speak of delusion, of our guilt and the punishment. Whence knowest thou thy misery? By renewal that word thy. Thus it is a question that comes personally to each and every one of us. How are we now to know our miserable condition and our miserable state? Because it is needful that it is learned, that it is experienced. Think of Matthew 9, verse 12. Then Christ has said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Our boys and girls can understand it. Your father and mother take you to the doctor when you have terrible pain and when you are sick. And then the doctor shall ask you, boy, girl, what is wrong? And then you shall tell him and ask the doctor whether he can heal and give relief. And so the necessity that the Holy Spirit, using the holy law of God, and when we read in our answer out of the law of God, then we have learned that the Lord has given unto the children of Israel a threefold law. Then there is the moral law, also called the Decalogue, that boys and girls, that is the Ten Commandments, which are read in the church every Lord's Day morning. Then also, the Lord has given the ceremonial laws, and in our answer it points to the moral law, but also the ceremonial laws. They have pointed the children of Israel to the necessity. It showed them they were unclean, defiled, and therefore the sacrifices, the blood was shed, which pointed to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come in the fullness of time. And we may say that even the civil law, that even pointed the people to their fallen condition, that those laws were necessary, that people may walk aright. But now when the instructors say, out of the law of God, then to make it clear for our boys and girls, then we may picture the law of God as a mirror. And when we look into a mirror, then the mirror shows who we are. And then, of course, to look into a mirror, then we need people with eyes. Oh, then it is necessary that we are as that blind Bartimaeus, the road by Jericho, and that he sat a-begging, and that he has said to Jesus that his eyes may be opened, that he may be given to see. And then further, then there needs to be light. The children can understand it. You can have a mirror, and you can be injured, sick, and your father and mother hold that mirror before you. And if you were blind, you shall not see your injury or how pale you look. But also there needs to be light, sunlight, because there can be artificial light that does not give the true picture. Whence knowest thou thy misery? Out of the law of God. And that law reflects the perfect purity and holiness of the Lord. And that law requires perfect obedience. And that law is necessary that by the Spirit we may learn our miserable and our lost condition, and that we may be given to cry for mercy. The natural man is an enemy of that uncovery, but it is so necessary. And to make it clear yet, then our boys and girls, maybe they have already thought, but when I am sick and father and mother hold a mirror before me, then that does not tell everything, because then I only see the outside of my body. But many times sickness that is inside, thus then we may even say that the law, when it is used by the Spirit, then it is as an X-ray, CAT scan, MIR, that it takes a picture of the whole person, and then we are given to see what a great sinner that we are, and therefore the necessity that law is preached, that it is explained, and that it may be accompanied by the work of the Holy Spirit. We have examples in the Scriptures. Think of that Samaritan woman in John 4. Then first have spoken of water. She desired that everlasting water, that she would not have to come each time to the well to drink. And then Jesus said, call thy husband. And then she was given to confess what a sinner she was. We have read together from Mark 10 of that rich young ruler who has come running to the Lord Jesus, and he has said, "Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" That young man, he was busy with eternal life, was busy with the only comfort, profound impression, that is what he stood in need of. We have other examples to make it clear. Think of that jailer in Acts 16 with that great earthquake. And he has seen the prison doors open, ready to despair, ready to take his life, has given to see that it was hopeless from his side. And then he has asked the apostle, "What must I do to be saved?" That was an uncovered sinner, a needy sinner, a desperate sinner. And therefore Paul unto the jailer has preached the gospel, but this rich young ruler, and it is remarkable, have you heard it, congregation, that it is written in Mark 10, when Jesus has said, has preached the law at the first table, the second table, and that rich young man was given to confess, "Master, all these things have I kept from my youth." Don't think that we would dare to say that, right, boys and girls? Told a lie, maybe not obeyed your father and mother, but that young man, he has said, "All these things have I kept from my youth." Of course, that young man did not have an understanding of the depth and the spirituality of the law. Nevertheless, a young man that had great respect for the Bible and for such people, they shall not be so world conformed, and you do not have to warn them. And then it is amazing, wonderful, this written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when he has said that he kept all those things, he was mistaken, but that Jesus loved them, not savingly, but he loved them because that young rich ruler had such a respect for the law of God. And then Jesus has continued to preach the law. We have heard it. "Sell what thou hast and give it to the poor." The 10th commandment. And then he wasn't covered deeper. And have you heard it? That he has left and went away sad, because he had many possessions and his heart was so bound. Nevertheless, a rich young man that was seeking for eternal life, once knowest thou thy misery from the law of God. Think of the day of Pentecost. That Jewish people, the children of Israel, Then how did Peter begin his sermon? Oh, giving an explanation of the wonderful work, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as was prophesied in Joel 2. And then Peter began to preach the law, speaking of Christ, whom ye by wicked hands have taken and crucified, and he is now risen and has become Christ. Men and brethren, what must we do? How is that with us, congregation? Have we now been uncovered to the law? And then we shall learn of the demand of that law. That is our third thought, but let us first sing. Psalter 323, the four stanzas. Thy servant blessed by thee shall live and keep thy word with awe. Lord, open thou my eyes to see the wonders of thy law and what follows. Psalter 323, the four stanzas. the knowledge of our sin by the holy law. A necessary knowledge, the profound discovery and congregation that is so necessary and so indispensable, especially in our day, where there is much water down, and where there is spoken of great things, but what can be so missing? And that is that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance, that sorrow that we have sinned against such a holy and such a good-doing God. And then it goes not about the depth, but it goes about the truth. I read in the Lamentations of Jeremiah, in chapter 4, verse 9, that it is stated that it is better to die by the sword than by hunger. Nevertheless, the work of the Holy Spirit, John 16, the verses 8 through 10, when he has come, that is the Spirit, he shall reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And now thirdly, the perfect love required by the law. What doth the law of God require of us? Christ teaches us that briefly in Matthew 22, the verses 37 through 40, spoken of the two tables, and the first table is that we love God above all, with all our heart, all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. What does the Spirit teach the sinner? Oh, it is true, the Spirit sheds that love abroad in the heart, that the Lord has a people that are given to love the Lord, his word, his law, his house, his day, his people. But then that people learn the exceeding sinfulness of sin. And the center letter of sin is I. Oh, then they are given to learn, when they look back, that never once in their life they truly had an eye for the glory of God, but it centered about the big eye. And then in the mirror, not only before, then the Spirit teaches that people concerning the first table, what sinners they are, how hard they try to improve, to obey the law, the Lord. But do we not read in Ezekiel 8, dig deeper, son of man, and thou shalt find greater abomination Thus the law does not only request that we have the desire, that we try, when the Lord works, we shall try congregation, but the holy law demands perfect obedience to each commandment in thought, word, and deed. And Galatians 3 verse 10, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the law of God to do them. And then the second commandment, that we love our neighbor as ourself. We live in a world where there is still spoken of horizontal love, but there is not so much spoken concerning the fulfilling of the law and respect to the Lord. Our last thought, the alarming disobedience to the law, and then there is ask, canst thou keep all these things? It's not say partly, most of the law. Whether we try very hard, do you try, congregation? Do you do your best, boys and girls? Or do we not pay so much attention to the law? But it says perfectly. And then the answer, in no wise, for I am prone. What does that word mean, boys and girls? That means to be inclined. Maybe that word is too big too. To make it simple, water that always runs downhill does not run uphill. And that is now a picture of our heart, that we are prone, and then the instructors do not say we are prone to fail. We have infirmities. We have weaknesses. And it is true, we cannot keep the law perfectly. That's not what the instructors say. The instructors say, in no wise, for I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. And then I think there are many boys and girls that do not agree with that answer. And that is good, boys and girls, that in this evening, that you say that answer is not true, because I love my father and my mother, I do my best to honor, to obey, to please them. I love my brothers and sisters. There is still great love in the family circle. Be thankful. That is a great blessing. When love may abound. But let us remember, that is the common goodness and mercy of the Lord, that upon this fallen world, when he still gives love in the family circle, in the congregation, when there is a helping and empathizing with one another, that is a great blessing. And that is a blessing when there may be an outward walking, when there may be respect to God's holy word. As family circles, let us remember we have enough examples in the Bible. Think of the kings of Judah when there were kings that did not walk according to the word of God, even in an outward way. Then the troubles have increased. Think in our society, what a broken families. but we repeat it. That is the common mercies of the Lord. When the Lord restrains us, and when he does not live out, but lives in our heart. Oh, think of the Bible. We have the examples, the first two boys that were born. Two brothers. And Abel has offered a more perfect sacrifice than the brother Cain. And then the end was that Cain has killed his brother. Think of Athaliah. She wanted to remain on the throne. And she has tried to kill all her grandchildren. Then the answer becomes clear. What the instructors have given. Read the news. Read what is taken in countries of genocide. Read in concentration camps that those tormentors, we would say, so deeply fallen that they have acted like the devil to rejoice in tormenting their fellow man. In no wise I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. And now young and old, then it is necessary that we are discovered to our sins, to our depravity. And why? Oh, when we think of our answer, prone to hate God and our neighbor, when we think of the Jewish nation and the time of Christ, what a bitter enmity against the Son of God, who has done nothing but good. With his hands he has blessed little children, broken the bread. With his feet he has walked through the land, doing nothing but good. What blessed words have flowed forth from his lips. And then what a bitter cry of bitter enmity to hate God and my neighbor. Crucify him. Crucify him. But now the wonder, young and old, may be declared that for such sinners, so deeply fallen, our existence is described that hatred against God and our neighbor, that we are self-seekers, that the Father was given to give us only begotten Son. He has come upon this world that is cursed on account of our sins, that for such a people that there is salvation, a sacrifice have been brought, but young and old needs to be experienced, and therefore the necessity we need to be uncovered. We need to learn that we are deadly sick. There are cancers that are described as a deadly killer. And so it is with our sin. Then we need to be uncovered, that room may come for that precious Jesus. The prophet Jeremiah, we read in Jeremiah 3 verse 13, only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast sinned against the Lord thy God. Amen. Let us close. Lord, thou hast given an other Lord's Day. And each time when we come to the evening, then we need the pardoning of the imperfect performance of all of our duties, but also an impression, one soul marked day less for each and every one. And to that end, may the prayers be multiplied. O Lord, teach us our sin. Work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Spirit, that we may learn what it is to be a lost sinner. A lost sinner that cannot save themselves. A lost sinner that is worthy to be cast away forever. And yet a lost sinner that cannot miss thee. And that is given to beg for mercy. Thou hast declared that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Remember the week which we have commenced. Remember the mothers in the home with the children. Remember on the way, at school, at work, wherever we are called to be, Lord. Then by renewal, then we commend unto thee the little daughter in the hospital with great concerns, with serious concerns. May it please thee to continue to spread thy gracious wings over her, and that the means may be blessed. May the parents be given to cry unto thee. Remember the consistory when they hope to meet tomorrow evening. May thy presence be experienced and bring us together for a weekday service. Grant now traveling mercies. Bring us safely to our dwellings. Be the faithful keeper Israel that slumbers and sleepeth not also during the night watches. And pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 110, let us only sing the first and the second stanza. Thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore, but let thy kindness and thy truth preserve me evermore. And what follows? And the consistory wishes to announce that on Thursday evening there will be a weekday service. Psalter 110, the first two stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and the pardon peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.